Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shops, the Spectator's daily political podcast. I'm Lara Prendergast and today I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and Katie Balls. So if last week was NHS week, this week seems to be crime week. Katie, can you take us through the policies that are being announced?
Yes, so we've had a few announcements at the weekend and we're getting more as the week goes on. It's going back to this, not something that really happened under Theresa May, of having themed weeks. Now, we've had this idea of extended use of stop and search powers, more prison places, and today there's an announcement that there is going to be a review of sentencing guidelines for serious criminals to try and boost the length of those sentences so they can't be cut short. So I think that's going on as it goes. Boris Johnson's doing several visits or meeting with police officers, senior figures in the sector to basically put that message across. And I think it goes back to the fact that if you look at what this government is doing, I think we now have 80 days until Brexit. So there's clearly a big focus on Brexit. But in terms of domestic policy, all the sounds from Number 10 so far appear to be on health funding, so NHS, and also trying to fix the party's reputation or get it back to being the party of law and order. And I think under Theresa May, there's a feeling that actually went backwards. You had violent crime on the rise. So I think this isn't just trying to move ahead. It's firstly looking at, I suppose, what people say in focus groups when they're asked about what they don't like under the current government and trying to amend that. And then also by doing it, if we do end up going into an election, which does seem to be the consensus right now, then that is something I think the Tories are really going to press hard on.
And Fraser, do you think we should just assume that this is all sort of gearing up for an election?
Yes, I think it's really quite striking to see how this Boris Johnson government, or so-called government, is basically an election campaign. That's what it is. You're just listing the Tories' biggest vulnerabilities and seeking to address them. Now, we all know that one of the biggest concerns for the Tories is that violent crime has been going up year after year. Now, it's quite common to open a newspaper now and hear about a stabbing or moped and bicycle theft or sometimes even like chemicals being sprayed in the faces of gang victims. And there's a sort of collective sense that the streets are a lot more dangerous than they used to be. And if a Tory government can't keep those streets safe, then what is the good of a Tory government? This is a very concerning question for the Tories. Now, of course, let's face it, the scenario, I think the other fascinating thing is the subtext to this. The scenario that they're working towards is that of a general election in November. And if there were to be one, what can you do before then? You can't really do anything that's going to change the crime statistics. You're not going to see violent crime go down. If anything, the data, because it lags what's happening, is likely to be rather shocking between now and November. So what you can do is talk a lot. You can talk about more police. You can talk about tougher sentences. You can change the mood music. Ideally, you say something outrageous that gets everybody else to talk about it, thereby drawing attention to your original policy. This is what Dominic Cummings did when he came up with a bus pledge, the £350 million bus pledge. Now, we all know that that was the gross figure, it wasn't the net figure, it was one that shouldn't have been used, it wasn't particularly accurate, although it was technically defensible. But why did he use it? Because he worked out that every time he did, he had everybody else outraged and talking about the subject that he wanted discussed. So it wouldn't surprise me if we can see, after this crime week, a few rather outrageous ideas floated that are designed to grab attention along a general theme of Boris Johnson being tough on crime.
Katie, do you think this explains the appointment of Priti Patel, who's, by many measures, quite a hardline character?
I think it helps make a lot more sense, because when you looked at Boris Johnson's decision to form his government, get rid of 17 of Theresa May's ministers in her cabinet, I think the biggest surprise appointment was Priti Patel getting one of the great offices of state in the Home Office. And that was in part because she was sacked from her last cabinet role, which was a much more junior role. So it seemed quite a steep promotion after you leave office in that way. And secondly, because of previous comments she had made. Everyone goes back to the death penalty one, but that was a long time ago. But again, it didn't appear to necessarily be in keeping with Boris Johnson's kind of open liberal line on immigration and so forth.
Certainly not liberal on crime. This is the big question of Boris Johnson's liberalism. He doesn't, and he wants to be quite clear, he's not one of these guys who believes in rehabilitation in the community. On the contrary, he wants to bang up more people. And I think that's what the appointment of Priti Patel showed.
Yeah, I think that's completely right. And speaking to various figures in government about this, they said, well, you can't actually be too right-wing on crime or hardline on crime in terms of election messages, they don't think. And you saw that when Fraser was talking about almost shock policies. There's also just language. So you had a point where, I think it was last week, Priti Patel gave her first interview, and in it she said that she wanted criminals to feel terror. That was very headline grabbing. You had Labour and the Lib Dems both very quickly criticise her and say, this is not the type of language we need. But yet there was an interesting poll, which I think it was 72% of the public of those surveyed agreed with her sentiment. So it goes back to this idea that Number 10 actually believes that if there's one area where you can't sound too tough in terms of positioning yourself, that is on crime.
Now, the other fascinating aspect of this is this shows how Boris Johnson is borrowing from the populist toolkit. Not that he is a populist, I don't think he is for a minute, but he is drawing from the ways in which outsiders manage to hog the debate. Now, one of Donald Trump's techniques is to identify policies where the liberal elite is united in opposition to it, but about half of the country support it, or perhaps even more than half. Like, take his bizarre idea of building a wall with Mexico. That sounds crazy to you and me and probably most people listening to this podcast, but something like half of Americans back it. When he's talking about a ban on Muslims, again, a Muslim migration, that was designed to be shocking, designed to have everybody talking about it. But a Pew poll showed that most people in Europe support that policy, let alone America. So this is the formula for drawing attention to policies that portray you as being on the side of the ordinary citizen. It's not so much that you're proposing it, you need all the other guys to be attacking you for what is essentially a policy that is popular amongst half of the country, if not more.
Speaking of striking policies, should we talk about Caroline Lucas, the Green MP, who last night said that what we need is an all-female emergency cabinet made up of Remainers. Fraser, how has this gone down?
It was an entertaining suggestion, put it that way. I love the idea that we can be liberal and inclusive as long as your gender is the right one. But the funny thing is that although it sounds slightly crazy, it's not that much more crazy than some of the stuff that Dominic Grieve and his friends are talking about, having a coalition of government of national unity, a government whose only purpose is to write a letter to the EU demanding that we extend EU membership. And I think we're in a period now where the devices that people are considering to stop or thwart Brexit are so imaginative and outlandish that an all-female cabinet of national unity isn't that much out of kilter with the other proposals that are being seriously proposed.
Yeah, I mean, people are quite quick to criticise this. It was good in terms of an attention-grabbing policy, and I think that if you are the sole Green MP, you are doing very well to garner this much in terms of column inches and media attention. I think it had quite a vocal point on the BBC News website. Is it a goer? Seems very unlikely. It's also interesting, I mean, the woman who Caroline Lucas has suggested should make up this emergency cabinet are Jo Swinson, the new Lib Dem leader, Emily Thornberry, the Shadow Foreign Secretary, Nicola Sturgeon, SNP leader, and there's several more. But, I mean, Corbynistas don't like it because, first off, Diane Abbott wasn't mentioned. So they've taken umbrage at that. Lots of people pointed out it's actually, it seems to not just be women, it's white women.
Are there any Tories on it?
You have former Tories who are mentioned, so Anna Soubry and Heidi Allen, formerly of the Conservative Party, then of Change UK. Now one of them, I think, is an independent who sometimes goes out with the Liberal Democrats, and the other is still the Change UK MP. I think they're allowed to be in it, but not anyone from the actual Tory party yet, as we know. But also, it just builds up to this idea, which is one of the flaws with any concept of a national unity government, something that was mentioned so much last week. So in order for it to work, you need to get every MP in every opposition party to back it, along with a small handful of Conservative MPs. Now, this government has already been criticised by Corbynistas and Conservative MPs, so it's not going to work. And Jeremy Corbyn's party, regardless of whether it's a national unity, inverted commas, of women, or just people who aren't on the Labour front bench, are not going to play ball because it's conceding the fact that you're not going to make a government.
It's funny that some Brexiteers have been proposing their own fantasy all-female lineup.
You've got a new fantasy league.
Yeah, here's one from Tim Montgomery. He proposes Gisela Stewart, Kate Hoey, Baroness Julia Hartley Brewer, Andrea Leadsom, Penny Mordaunt. So there you go. There's an all-female cabinet for you.
Thank you, Fraser and Katie. And a reminder that we've got a new event coming up, Can Boris Do It? It's going to be on Tuesday, the 17th of September at the Emmanuel Centre. And subscribers are very welcome to join us for £25 a ticket. Thanks for listening.